And that ability to think 10, 20, 30 years down the line is, I think, pretty admirable and powerful, and it shines through in the way you approach things.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw,
who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
All right. So today in the Startup Chat, Heaton and Steli will discuss very, very, very long-term thinking in business. And here's why I want to talk to you about this, Heaton. Well, number one, there's a few people that I truly admire when it comes to what they've built. And many of them, most of them have one thing in common, and that's their ability to think in much longer term cycles than the average person, the average entrepreneur even. And that ability to think 10, 20, 30 years down the line with the things that you're approaching, the strategy that you have, the way that you're building your business, is, I think, pretty admirable and powerful, and it shines through in the way you approach things. So one great example of this is Amazon, right? So Jeff Bezos is definitely one of my favorite kind of founder CEOs. And one of the beautiful things that Amazon did really early on, I think, is that in order to have really long-term thinking, what they decided was to say, hey, if we're in technology and technology is constantly changing, the world is fucking constantly changing, we need to find the things that will never change and focus on those. And they decided, well, what will never change is that customers will always want a lower price. People will not in 2 years say, oh, it's now in fashion to pay double for everything or pay a much, much more expensive price for things than I could have somewhere else. So having the most affordable product and having cheaper products will be true probably 5, 10, 20, 30 years down the line. People will always want the things they want as fast as possible. So delivering these goods to them very fast will also always be something people want. Fundamentally, when I want something, I want to purchase it, I want it immediately. So, and they'll want, you know, good customer service. Whatever else it is, they want to be treated well. They went down the line of thinking, what are some core principles that we truly believe in that we know will never fucking change? So if we focus on getting better and better and better at this, we'll be around forever. Because people will never get sick of getting a cheaper price and a faster delivery of a better product.
Yeah.
So, and I think that if you look at Amazon and the things they worked on and the way they've grown, it's very apparent that some of these guiding principles have helped them stay ahead of the curve and be the only first.
Well, if you're faster than any other e-commerce site on delivering a product, that's a win for the
customer.
That's
a win.
Right? If you're cheaper, that's a win too, because they're going to keep coming back to you.
Yeah.
And even on things that you're more expensive, they probably won't care.
Yeah. But you know what? Many of these e-commerce platforms, when they launched, they just thought, let's get this offline shit online.
Yep.
And then they thought, oh, cool. Oh, shit. Now these other sites do this other thing. Let's do that. Oh, well, let's add some Facebook sharing in there and doing social e-commerce. Like, they just were one step behind whatever the trend was and trying to apply to that instead of having that very long-term, those long-term principles that guided them from the beginning that allowed them to innovate and do things nobody else was doing because they were singularly focused on things that would never change, would never be – like I love Jason, whatever his last name is, the founder of 37 Seal Boot.
Freed.
Jason Fried's quote of like – forget about what's trending and cool and hip and new. How about useful? Because useful will never be out of fashion.
That's right.
If you're useful and valuable, you'll never be out of fashion.
No.
Right? So I love that type of thinking. And I think it leads to really amazing results. But I don't think I'm thinking as long-term as I could.
Yeah.
So it's something that I'm conscious of and I want to get better at. And when I look at the people that I interact with, most of entrepreneurs, I don't get the sense that they have very long-term thinking in the way they approach things. So what's your thinking on that? How do you think about that? Do you think you're a very long-term thinking the way that you approach business? And what does that even mean? Let's talk about that. I want to unpack this a little bit for my own sanity and learn more about it while having the chat with you.
Yeah. I think it's like one of those things that in a way, habitual. So if you start thinking more long-term and more fundamental, I think I'd almost break it up and say there's long-term thinking, but then there's also fundamentals, right? And those are sort of, a lot of the stuff you talked about to me are more fundamentals than long-term thinking, right? So the fundamentals that Amazon thinks about is fundamentally, these are the things that people are always going to want, regardless of how they're buying products. So I think that's what gets really interesting as to the fact of if social helped one of those two things you said. So if social helped people get products faster, or if social helped people get products cheaper, and Amazon had conviction that that would work, they'd probably go do it because it's the two things they care about the most. So I think one stupid, really simple way I think about this is, what do you want to be the best at? And how do you know being the best at that gives you a long-term advantage? And I think Amazon was brilliant in figuring that out. So, you know, in the case of my own businesses, right? Like, I'll give a very tangible example because I think it's helpful. So, working in a business called Quick Sprout, and our goal is to help you increase traffic by helping you write, by providing tools to help you write better content. And today, the most common content that's being written all the time is blogging content. Right. You could say it's tweets and stuff like that, but content for marketing purposes tends to be blogging right now, right? But the way we've established our technology and the way we think about it is that people will always be writing to attract customers.
Right.
And so we want to help them with any kind of activities they're doing that require words to help customers.
Right.
But today, it happens to be content marketing. That's what we call it, and it's a blog. But all the technology we build is all about words, actually, and how to help people write better words. That's the fundamental of it, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, fundamentally, we want to help people write better content that gets more traffic faster.
Right.
And it's like things that we care about are like speed. Have we helped someone decrease the time it takes for them to write a blog post? So again, that's like a very tangible definition that goes all the way from a fundamental, which is people are always going to be writing content for marketing purposes. I mean, if you think about, I had a joke the other day with my friend because I've been thinking about this recently. I'm like, if you think about it, a caveman would do something on a wall if the caveman had the skills, which is not all of them.
Yeah.
Then the caveman would have to get people to see it if they wanted anyone to know about it.
Yeah.
So then what happens, right? And then I got a little crazy. So my co-founder, Neil, he's like the Uber marketer caveman. So it's like, well, if you know Neil, you're going to ask Neil, like, hey, Neil, can you get more people over here for me? And then Neil's like, yeah, let me go bring my crew,
sure,
right?
Sure.
But like, the shit used to happen. We used to write. And it wasn't words, but it was hieroglyphics.
Right.
And then we'd need people to see it, right? So we just thought about fundamentally, what are we doing? Are we providing a tool to help people with content marketing? No, not really. What we're actually providing in the long run, and that's foundational, is helping people write better content.
Right.
For the purpose of marketing.
So I love that. So you start with fundamentals, right?
Yeah.
And that strips away chasing to do something that's current, that's trendy, jumping on some opportunity of saying, oh, I think mobile, social, whatever, big data. I like a new trend and I want to do something with that.
So I want to talk about that for a sec, right?
Yes.
Just because I think you hit on something important. You have to break out the idea that, and I think the framework I would use is, there's a framework called Jobs to be Done, where it describes, it basically says that people are hiring your product for a job. They're hiring it to do a job for them, right? And the famous video out there is Clay Christensen, when he talks about how they work with some fast food company and they figured out that people are actually buying milkshakes as a replacement to breakfast. And once they figured that out, they changed how the way they marketed milkshakes. Because typically they didn't think of it like that. They thought of milkshakes as dessert.
Yeah.
But it's just a more convenient way on the way to work.
Right.
Right? So once you take that lens, you're like, wait, this milkshake, we created it because it was a dessert. But now we learned that people are using it in a different way to do some job that we never thought they would do with that product.
Yeah.
And so that's why you want to think about fundamentals from the beginning, because there's going to be things like that come up that you can't even guess, right? But the most important part is, how do you start? So the way they started with the milkshake and dessert made sense, but it's like, people eat desserts. This is just an alternative to dessert, right? But that's still something foundational and fundamental.
Yeah.
So I would say that it's important to focus on the job people are hiring your product to do, because honestly, the jobs don't change. There's no new jobs. We're still eating, right? We still want stuff. We still need to buy products. It's just the technology of online helps you buy products. but you're still buying products. You're not doing anything new.
Yeah.
The way you do it is new, but that's the technology as a facilitator.
Yep.
So I think people get confused that the technology is the thing,
yeah,
right? But actually, the thing people want to do is the thing. Technology helps people do that thing. And if mobile or something like that gives, or even social gives you an advantage, that's actually a fundamental advantage, you should do it. For example, in my company today, the technologies that we're using heavily, and none of this is launched yet, but like we're spending a lot of time like prototyping because we know words matter, is everything to do around analysis of words. So we have a person that all day, he's looking at how do I analyze words? How do I help people write better content? How do I use machine learning to figure out what's popular out there and stuff like that? But that's technology used for this use case. So
yes. So I love the idea of starting with fundamentals, understanding that at the end of the day, there's basic human needs we have. And in one way or another, anything and everything we do caters to serving these human needs.
Yep.
And they're not infinite and they're not changing.
No, there's a finite number of needs.
There's a finite number of needs, and they're not changing. They're the same today than they were 100 or 1,000 years ago.
Like, I'm stealing this from Intercom, but they have a whole product management book.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their examples I loved, which was the idea that we used to pass notes in class.
Like yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure most people listening to this are probably remember that. But if you don't,
yes.
What we used to do in grade school or elementary school is we'd pass written notes between each other, right? And then what would happen is I'd pass a note to you, you'd read it, and what would happen? You'd throw it away.
Yep.
Guess what does that for us today? Snapchat. So this is from Intercom. Yeah. They have a bunch of these, and it was just impressive because it's like, if you think about this, Snapchat isn't anything new. It's just a better, more efficient, you know, relevant way today to pass notes that you throw away after you read them.
Even if there weren't notes that you threw away, because somebody might challenge this and say, well, but people didn't take, you know, nude selfies and then burn them, maybe not as many times. Although he was like, did they?
No, we used to share nudies.
People used to share nudies.
Right. No, I mean like if you're trying to have phone sex, you're going to share a nudie. Like that's
absolutely.
How it works.
Yeah,
right? Like,
absolutely.
Happen, right?
But it wasn't as easy
because they would disappear. So if I gave one to you, you'd be like, you could do anything you want with it, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
So, but the other thing is fundamentally, even if you go one step away from it to have even more distance, more perspective. It's human connection is the desire to connect with somebody, to share things with each other, to connect with each other, to be desired and to desire like all these things.
So that's like a high level. That's like a high level job. And then one of those is this ephemeral like thing. But the whole point is like we used to share things and they used to disappear.
Yeah.
People think this is new.
Yeah.
No, we used to do that. We do that. Like
absolutely.
In fact, even if you look at it after the notes, obviously, we probably used to share texts and then delete them. In fact, this behavior pre-Snapchat happened on Instagram. If you look at a lot of young people's Instagrams, right, they'll have like 10,000 followers, 5,000 followers, but guess what? They've got 3 posts. Why? They post them and delete them.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, so let me switch track a little bit on this long-term thinking thing. Process versus goals.
Okay.
So this is something that I found is helping, maybe not so much with, well, it does help with long-term thinking, but also with long-term like living, just doing things that are really long-term versus short-term.
Yeah.
So many people are very goal-oriented, right? So they'll set certain goals for themselves, usually challenging, usually things that they're not easily accomplishing. Well, what's the point then? It's just a to-do if you're doing it every day. It's not really a goal for most
people. But a goal usually has a date,
and a number. And a number, right? And then they work really hard to either accomplish that goal or fail at accomplishing it. I would say most goals are not accomplished. I would venture to say that. Yeah. So that's fundamentally one approach. And let's just take the example of like losing weight, right? So this is something a lot of times people go, oh, I want to lose whatever, 10 pounds, 100 pounds, whatever the hell it is. And then they set a certain goal. I'm going to, run
lose
every day.
20
I'm gonna,
pounds by 3 months.
Yes. And then I'm going to do all these activities that I'm not doing at all right now in my life. You know, I'm going to go from 0 to 100 to accomplish this goal.
Yeah.
And most people fail with that, right?
Because of the 0 to 100, you think?
I think there's multiple things. It's the 0 to 100.
Yeah.
It's too much of a challenge immediately. Some people are able to pull that off sometimes, but most of the time people are not ready to pull that off.
Okay.
And then the other thing is, I think that the other problem with this is that even if you accomplish it or you get close to it, what happens once you fucking reach the goal?
That's right.
Right? you're like, you're then so, fall off a cliff, basically. There's, because there's no long-term thinking here.
So, let's relate that back, right?
Right.
So if we, let's talk about this. Let's take this example, right?
Yes.
Let's say you want to lose weight.
Yeah.
You want to lose 20 pounds in 3 months, right?
Yes.
The first thing I would do to get you to think long-term or just understand how you're thinking long-term, which you might not know, is like, why do you want to lose the 20 pounds? That's the first question I'd ask. Then you'd probably say something like, oh, I have a wedding coming up and like, I want to look good for it, right? Like whether it's your wedding or you're the best man, whatever, or best, you know, whatever part of the procession. Yeah. So you want to lose weight for a wedding. Great. That's a very tactical thing. That probably might not have a long-term goal. But if you said something different, like, I feel like, you know, if I continue down this path, I might get diabetes. That's why I want to lose weight. And I want to do it in 3 months just because I feel like that's a good timeline.
Yes, but
that's different.
Yes and no. Okay. So I get it, but I think that the in the first example, somebody says, hey, there's a wedding. And I go, why the fuck do you care if you are 10 pounds more or less for the fucking wedding?
Sure.
Right? Well, I want to look good. Do you want to only look good at that wedding and look shit the rest of your fucking life? Probably not, right? Yeah. Don't roll your eyes on me.
No, I'm rolling my eyes because people, it's good. I'm not sure if you'll get people to make that switch.
Oh, I think that
some people are very tactical, right? They're like, well, I got a thing and I need to do it for that thing. And that's how they set goals, right?
Listen, if somebody's super pragmatic and is like, I don't care, usually I just want this one thing to be good, I'm cool with that.
Yeah,
like, I'm not
going to
challenge
long-term.
That. But I think most of the time, even when people have something that sounds like a short-term goal, there's a longer-term desire behind it. There's something that's more fundamental.
Yeah, so you could just ask them, well, if you lose those 20 pounds, do you want to keep them off?
Yeah. Do you want to gain them back right away?
If they say yes, I want to keep them off, then you could be like, oh, so you're doing this for your health.
So it's funny because we took that example and you first wanted to go to like the why.
Yeah.
Why do you want to lose this specific amount? And what I want to challenge is the timeline.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Why does it have to happen in 3 months?
Yeah.
And why does it stop after this amount
that
or after this time?
Yeah.
So instead of doing, so I think that there's multiple problems with this goal setting. It's very challenging for people to go from zero to 100. Yep. It's hard for them to keep it up for that amount of time. When they don't keep it up, they have all kinds of strategies to fuck themselves up.